Thursday, the 17th of June, Hey Tammuz. Today's shiur is sponsored by Le'il Nishmas Elisheva Bas Menachem HaKohen. Babisi Wanderer, Kazayas, Making a Meal of It, Part 2.
Good morning. The topic today is supposedly part 2 of the topic of burial, which is something we discussed a couple of weeks ago. So you'll excuse me if I dash through the first part, just to recap on the topic that we covered last time. And then we'll try going into some more of the halachic permutations this time round. So just to very briefly recap on where it all started, the Gemara in Brachos mentioned a story, a case with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had a salted olive, he ate this olive and he made a bracha rishona, obviously, and he also made a bracha achrona. He made a bracha after having eaten it, and the Gemara questions how he could do that, because the bracha achrona has to have a certain amount, and there has to be a kazayas of food to be eaten before you make a bracha achrona. So how, having eaten one olive, could he make a bracha achrona? Because once you subtract the size of the pit, then it's no longer a kazayas volume, and you haven't got the right requisite volume, and the Gemara gives an answer. The Gemara's answer is, in the Bavli, that is, the Gemara says that he ate a olive which was large, a supersized olive, and that large olive had within it flesh minus the size of the pit, the same amount of same volume as a smaller olive with the pit. And we mentioned that the Rishami gave a conflicting answer. The Rishami said a different answer. The Rishami says, in the same story, but a slight different answer, it says that Rabbi Yochanan ate a beria. That's what it calls. He ate a beria, which means a whole created thing. And having eaten a whole olive, albeit that the pit was taken out, it is still considered to be a brocha achrona still required. So now, we mentioned last time that, as it appears on face value, we have an argument between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. The classic rule of halachic decision is that when you have an argument between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, you follow the Bavli. And consequently, since the Bavli didn't offer this answer of a barrier, the Bavli did not say that the reason why he made a bracha achrona on this individual olive was because it was a separate barrier. The fact that's not mentioned by the Bavli indicates that the Bavli does not consider that to be a valid reason to make a bracha achrona. And that was how the Gezeila Poskim, the Rambam and the Rif seemed to follow. They didn't mention a word about this barrier topic. However, a number of Rishonim did attempt to reconcile, we'll see later on how they did that, attempted to reconcile the two stories in the Bavli and Yerushalmi to try and fit them together. And as such, we are left in halachic limbo, we could say, that on the one hand, this topic of barrier of an entire creation vis-a-vis bracha achrona seems not to be relevant. On the other hand, many Rishonim seem to say that it is relevant, and therefore in halacha what we say is that you do not say a bracha achrona if you eat one, but equally you should avoid eating it, because if you do, you get yourself into what we call a sophic bracha achrona, namely you shouldn't have had it, because if you did, some opinions say you should be making a bracha achrona. So that's how we more or less left it last time. I did say I was trying to go into some of the more direct halachic permutations this time round. So let's go straight away. Now, a quick disclaimer before we begin. This is only for ones who consider the points. It's not final halachic decisions. For that, you need to speak to your own orthodox rabbi. I am orthodox, but I'm not your rabbi. So the first point which we should say, maybe more the preemptory points than anything else, is that this issue, as namely, we can call it barrier avoidance, meaning one should avoid eating a whole barrier, because if you do, you have a doubtful bracha achrona. This issue only arises, it goes without saying, just speaking out the point, it only arises if you didn't eat a kazayas of that food or of another food at the same time. In other words, a real live example, the person ate one grape. So eating one grape indeed gets you into murky waters of barrier, because it could be that a bracha achrona is required. If, of course, you ate six grapes or so, that around that amount, then there's nothing to discuss, because you've had a kazayas of the food. And equally, if you had one peanut, but at the same time you had a drink of orange juice, and you make your bracha achrona on the drink, then once again it goes without saying that the burn of flesh will cover you, and you're safe either way. So that's something which has to be, as it were, more of a preemptive point, just to realise that we're only talking about a situation where the only thing you had was this one grape or one small olive, Whereas if you had it as a Kazayas as a whole, and it's worth mentioning in fact that the I think there's a bit of a misconception about how large a Kazayas really is. What is the requisite amount, just as a, more of a side point, how much is a Kazayas? So the technical term, which probably not much use to anyone, is it's about 27 milliliters fluid ounce, something like that. And that, in brought with me a more practical guide, this matchbox over here is considered to be, the old style matchbox is about the size of a Kazayas, so it's not very big at all. It could be two or three small crackers, six or so grapes, average size grapes. So that means that this whole issue about eating a Kazayas is actually much easier than meets the eye, because you can have a smallish amount and it's already a Baruch HaKorona, right? So having said that, so we're now talking about we're passing one grape only. One grape, one olive, and then we need to discuss what the Baruch HaKorona issues are. Now firstly, one must understand what a barrier is. We spoke about barrier, it's a terminology used by the Yerushalmi, a barrier, creation literally. So what falls into that category? So the first point to make very clear is that it's only items that are made by Hashem, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem creates it, something in a certain fashion, then it has the status, the chashivas, the importance of a barrier. Man-made items, however important they might be in our eyes, they are never in the category of barrier. So for example, small biscuits, small chocolates, all these items, albeit that they're a closed single unit, and it might be eaten by itself, it might be more expensive than a fruit or an olive or a grape. Nevertheless, those can never be in the category of barrier. And that point is actually derived from, just going to Yerodea for a second, the rules in Yerodea about a barrier, where it has certain rules that it's not bottle and that it's forbidden to eat a single ant in the topic. So over there, the Gemara talks about whether whether Shahar Niskel, animal which is killed and is chayav to be killed itself, whether the Shahar Niskel is in the category of barrier regarding whether it's mixed in with other food and it makes it trade, osav hamar. So all the Rishonim say that because the Shahar Niskel only became forbidden later on in life, it wasn't born that way, it wasn't born with a prohibition on it, it only became osav hamar once it had done the gory deed that it did. So that can't be a barrier in that context over there. So just deducing from that, that's certainly something which was not even created by Hashem at all, but it was made by man, so it hasn't got the din of a barrier. However, what is a barrier is very interesting, because what is categorized as a barrier, the post can talk about all sorts of examples. So firstly, a segment of an orange. So the great Sfadi Posuk, Ben Sina Bashal in Or Lasin, he says that one orange segment, not a whole orange, one segment of an orange or a tangerine, that's called a barrier. The predating him, of course, the Mogen Avraham talks about kidneys, one individual kidneys on a sharavit, one small legume, a pea or something, on the stalk, even though many grow together in the same capsule. Nevertheless, each one is called a barrier. Sesame seeds are spoken about as a barrier. Sesame seed, Eshel Avraham talks about sesame seeds being a barrier. I guess poppy seeds, the same thing. So we're talking about possibly very minute things, and each one, because each one is created whole and entire and individually, so therefore they have a din of a barrier, a chickpea, a peanut. All these situations do get us into area of barriers, so therefore it has quite a wide scope. But let's now try and talk about where it possibly doesn't apply.
Why was you sorry? I missed a lot of stuff. We have to speak enough.
No, it's not because of size. That's because of the fact that it didn't have the issa on it, namely that it is forbidden because it killed people. That didn't come at the beginning of its creation. It came later on in life. So there has to be an issa which was upon it from its outset. Okay.
One word is one of two.
Right, so it's derived from a Gemara and Chulin principally, the whole Makar. Of course it does, just to bring out the point, this is only more for discussion rather than halachic, just to conceptualize what we're talking about. It does get a bit difficult to discern what's called a barrier, because you could take an orange segment and you can divide the orange segment into half and take out the little mini capsules that are within the orange, and then you might possibly say that, and no one says that's called a barrier. An egg is a barrier, so if you have a very small egg, it's probably Kazayas anyway, but a very small egg, what happens if you remove the outer white and you take just the yolk, is that a barrier or is it the whole thing? So lots of topics which need to be discussed over here, and really, as we say, only Masha and only Rome, what the Gedolei Poskim can tell us about these things, it's quite difficult for us to discern ourselves what is called a barrier. So now, let's move on to some, as it were, ways out of the problem, because it seems that we're getting ourselves into, someone just mentioned to me they haven't eaten anything since the last year because they're worried about what could and couldn't be eaten. So let's try and discuss what, as it were, ways of dealing with this topic. So a lot of the halakhic angles hinge very much on the machlok, which we mentioned last week, and this needs to be focused on to understand that there was a machlokas how to reconcile the Babli and Yerushalmi. We had two cases to recap. Babli and Yerushalmi. Babli says one thing about the story of Rabbi Yochanan, about his olive. Yerushalmi says another answer about Beria. And the two different ways we need to, the three actually, we'll discuss two main ones. Two ways to reconcile those two Gemaras, Babli and Yerushalmi. The Rashba is most straightforward. The Rashba says that it's simple. There's no argument between the Babli and Yerushalmi. The case of the Babli was where Rabbi Yochanan didn't eat the pip. He ate an olive and he spat out the pip. He didn't eat the pip. So therefore it's not a berry. He didn't eat the whole thing. The case of the Yerushalmi was where he ate the pip and all, lock, stock and barrel, as they say. And now he's eaten the whole thing, and therefore in that case it's a berry. That's what the Rashba says. So the Rashba seems to say that it's a question of eating the fruits, the whole fruit and nothing but the fruit, the whole thing in its entirety, and then it's a berry. The Rosh has a bit more subtle, a bit more complex answer, and he says that the case of the Babli was again where Rabbi Yochanan got a olive and he didn't eat the pip, he discarded it, wasn't given to him at all. Whereas in Yerushalmi, he had a olive presented to him whole, he was given an olive to eat, and he made a brocha rishona on the olive, seemingly, and then he discarded the pip and he ate. The words are mashadar kulechol. He ate what is normal to eat. Yes. And he didn't eat the pip. And that's how the Rosh explains why the Yerushalmi is talking about a berry. In other words, the Rosh says that in the case of the Babli, he never got a whole olive. He's never given a whole olive. He was given a pitted olive minus the pip in the first place. In the case of the Yerushalmi, he was given a whole olive. He made a bracha on the whole olive, but then he didn't eat the pip. He didn't normally eat pip, olive pips. He ate the rest of it, and he ate mashadar kalecho, and that's called the barrier. Now, those two points have distinct halakhic differences, because first, it goes without saying that according to the Rashba, if you have take example of an olive, if you eat the olive without the pip, then it's not a barrier, not a problem. According to the Rosh, you eat an olive without the pip, it is a problem, not a barrier, if you made a brocha rishona when it was complete. Now, we need to see immediately how that...
What about nothing to show?
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get slowly. Let's first try and...
If you eat the pip without the olive...
Just the pip itself.
Yeah.
That's actually a very good point. That's strongly not recommended, but actually mentioned by the Mogen Avraham. Mogen Avraham talks about where you ate the pip. He talks about a scenario where you ate the pip which has an edible content inside it. And you broke open the pip and you ate inside the pip. So you're getting closer and closer to the core here. Yeah, so that's, that could be a... That's a good pun, wasn't it? I'm not intending at all. So that is possibly a barrier as well, yeah. Not because of the pip necessarily, but because of the contents of the pip. But that's a separate point. Let's see now how the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah in particular, how they decide on this topic. We have distinct machlokas Rosh and Rashba as to whether you need to eat the pip in order to be considered a barrier to get into this problem area of a barrier. Says the Ramah, V'lo mikri barrier elit simen reshiyud narachayim, lo mikri barrier elit elim ochlo k'mos shehu. It's only considered to be a barrier if it's eaten as it is. Avalim lochach garin mimenu. If you took out, you removed the pip, lo mikre barrier, it doesn't have the status of a barrier. So it seems pretty clear that the Rashba is the halachic opinion which we follow. The Ramah has said that if you take out a pip, it's not a barrier. So therefore, it does seem that the final halacha follows the Rashba. That's how the Vilna Gaon seems to understand it, how Mishnah Berurah understands it, and that's going to help us quite a lot. We're going to see shortly. There is a Mogen Avraham, which we will mention shortly. He has a certain twist to things where he seems to understand that the halacha can also follow the Rosh, which will mean we need to consider that point a bit further later on. But to all intents and purposes, it seems the halacha follows the Rashba, namely that if you don't have all the barrier, the whole barrier, nothing but the barrier, then it's not considered to be, and you remove part of it, the pip or anything else, then it won't have the same status. So therefore, this halachic nafkaminas are as follows. Number one, inedible pips. If you have an inedible pip, as in an olive and similar, then if it's removed, even though it wasn't edible, it's still no problem of barrier. Pitted olives, therefore, are fine because they have the pip removed, and that's not a problem.
So you
have no chashash bruch achron. I mean, you have no concern. That's it's a bit difficult to verbalize this, because the point is that it's not that you have to make a bruch achron. It's that the point is that the whole issue here is whether you have a sofek bruch achron. So once the pip is removed, there's no sofek bruch achron. There's no issue. There's no concern, and you may have a pitted olive happily without concern for it's being a barrier and no problem of bracha achrona.
No
bracha achrona, and not even a sofik bracha achrona, therefore you're fine to do so. Next point is also very important. What happens if one is given a grape cut up? Cut in half. A grape been cut in half, served regally by your wife, cuts the grape in half for you, and the grape is no longer whole. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chai Odom saying clearly that again there's no problem of bracha achrona. Again, there's not a concern. Once the item, the barrier, has been reduced, not reduced, it's been dissected, it's no longer in its entire state, when you put it in your mouth, then there's no concern whatsoever of bracha achrona. And that's something which probably quite easy to take on board. What's a bigger chiddush, something that Ben Ish Chai says a wonderful point. He says it in the context of I'll tell you what he says, and I'll tell you the context. He said that if you nibble a peanut or a chickpea, take one item and you bite a bit off, you hold it in your hand and you bite a piece off, providing you don't put the whole thing in your mouth in one go, so that it hasn't got the din of a barrier at all. So in other words, he says that it's only a concern if you put the whole thing in its entirety in your mouth in one go. If you bite a piece off, and that's actually very, very helpful. So the person eats a strawberry, bites a piece off, and then eats the rest of it, no problem. Have a peanut, bite a bit off, and eat the rest. Again, there's no problem whatsoever, bracha achrona. He's actually talking, it's worth noting the context in which he says it, he's talking about when you should make the bracha rishona, because he says, we know there's a rule that ideally, when you make a bracha rishona, you should start with the sholim, the complete fruit. It's more covered for the bracha to start with the whole item. So he says, you've got a bit of a problem here, because if you have a whole fruit, a small one, say a grape, if you cut it in half, then it's not the right way to make the bracha rishona, because you should have had a whole grape. If you don't cut it in half, you've got a problem of barriers. What should you do? So his remedy, his solution is to do this, that you make a bracha when it's whole, bite a piece off, and then you eat the rest. Then you haven't got a bracha rishona problem, and you've done it on a sholim as well. So that's what he said, and that's a very, very useful way of dealing with the problem of barrier, and to avoid any concern that barrier. And that leads me on to the next point. There's a Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says that it occurs occasionally when you cook a small food that parts of it will fall away in the cooking process. Probably chickpeas are a reasonably good example of that. Arvos, which is Shalom Zochas. So a small item which when you cook it, a bit of it falls away, it disintegrates in the cooking process. So the Magen Avraham, he says that it's still considered to be a barrier, quoting the Rosh, remember the Rosh we had before, he says, listen, it says in the Rosh, if you ate mashadar kolechol, if you ate what is normal to be eaten, and when it's cooked, a bit falls away, but you basically eaten what's normally eaten of that fruit. So the Magen Avraham says, if a bit falls off, it's still a barrier, it's still a concern. The Mishnah Berurah takes issue with that, and he says, that's very nice, but that's the Magen Avraham l'shitasa, because the Magen Avraham has attempted to weave the words of the Rosh into the Shulchan Aruch, into the Ramah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we follow the opinion of the Rashba, namely that the Rashba says you have to eat the whole thing and nothing but the whole thing, and therefore says the Mishnah Berurah that he argues strongly with the Magen Avraham, and he says that if a bit of it falls off, whatever the reasons, even if it's normal, even if it's part of the cooking process, makes no difference. It hasn't got the status of a barrier. Backs himself up by saying that anyway we have the opinion of the Rambam and the Rif, which says that there's no such thing as a barrier anyway. So for the Mishnah Berurah says that if part of it falls away when you cook it, then once again it's not a barrier. But that could be relevant to chickpeas, it could be relevant to small fish. Because of course a small fish, something we didn't mention earlier on, in the terms of a barrier, a sardine, pilchards, anchovies, all these little fish, which possibly are not as large as a barrier. Right. So now, I am aware that often they chop the heads off there, for anyway, it could be that it hasn't got a din of a barrier. But if you served a whole small fish, but part of it has sort of fallen away by the way of cooking, it's been disintegrated partially, then the Mishnah Berurah says clearly that hasn't got the problem of a barrier. It's often the case, it's very hard to cook an item like that and it comes out whole in its total entirety. Therefore, there's no concern for these small fish that are cooked and a bit falls away in cooking, which often happens. Then that's not hasn't got the status of a barrier. Chickpeas, which are very relevant to Sholem Zochar's, a person who goes to, you know, it's your ninth Sholem Zochar of the night, and you really can't manage to have a whole kazayas of the chickpeas. So those things often also a bit falls away when it's cooked, and it could well be that that's not a concern of a barrier. Popcorn, I believe, is also a similar thing happens when you look at the bottom of a packet of popcorn. You'll see all the crumbs and little pieces have fallen off because when it's cooked, then a lot of the pieces break away from the thing, from the item. That could be once again that it hasn't got the status of a barrier.
Popcorn is not a barrier; it's manufactured.
Well, that's a good one. Actually, I'm going to go on to that. Thank you very much. Actually, that's the next point on the agenda, because there is a point mentioned in Halacha that if the barrier is nisrasik, meaning that it's pulverized or changed substantially from its original state, then it hasn't got the status of a barrier. It starts with a Gemara Makkos about a person who's eating an ant regarding the problem of eating insects, and it says if the ant is crushed up, then it hasn't got the status for vis-a-vis Malkos, the person not Chayav Malkos for that. So they say that if a barrier is crushed up, it's not a concern. We have to know what the definition of crushed means. So a dried prune or a dried apricot is not crushed up. It might be changed partially, but it's not crushed. Therefore, it's still a barrier. Whereas if one crushes a chickpea to make sesame, to make tchina, hummus, whatever they make out of them, so that's definitely considered to be crushed up. So the clearest halachic, more day-to-day example of a crushed item which I could think of was mentioned over here. Popcorn is almost the opposite of being crushed, because popcorn, rather than imploding, is exploded. So popcorn is something where it's been changed substantially from its original form. It starts as a small corn, and it's then cooked and it blows up and these bits of white come out of it. So that, it hasn't been crushed, it's almost been the opposite. And I haven't got a clear halakhic decision about it, but it seems to be that popcorn is almost the equivalent to being crushed, in the sense that it's anti-crushed, it's expanded upon. It has the final item has no semblance whatsoever, no similarity whatsoever to the original item. And therefore, it could well be that a single popcorn piece could be eaten without concern for a barrier. Coupled with that is the fact that often pieces fall away when it's cooked, and in the bag it break off, and therefore it's quite possible that that wouldn't be a concern about a barrier. So that is the couple of heterium we could talk about. And the last point is very interesting, actually. Something which is mentioned by the Eishel Avrohom, not the Prima Golden, but the Potterstadt. Eishel Avrohom says the following. He says something which is, if it were true, it would actually present a lot of problems. He says, if you have a piece of cake, classic piece of kokosh cake with sesame seeds on it, sprinkled with sesame or with poppy seeds. So he says, now what's going to be with the bracha achrona on that cake? He says, certainly the bracha achrona is mezonos, and there's no question about it, nothing else. But he says it could be that the reason why there's no bracha rishon on the sesame is because it's tofel, it's secondary to the cake. That's well understood, that the seeds on top are not the main part, the main component is the cake, and therefore sesame seeds are not a problem. He said, but what about bracha achrona? We have the whole topic of barrier, he said. The topic of barrier seems to stand alone. It seems to be that it's considered to have chashivas and importance, mitzav atzmo, and therefore he says it could well be that you have to concern yourself with the bracha achrona, and that would effectively mean that you couldn't eat this piece of cake, because there's no way it's going to have enough sesame seed on top to make a bracha achrona. Unless you eat 15 cakes, then they're going to be eating a tiny amount of poppy seeds. So he, appreciate the concern over here, the same would apply to lokshen kugel with a raisin or two inside it. A person has lokshen kugel and one raisin inside it, it's a barrier. You're not eating it for the raisin. The raisin doesn't need a bracha achrona, but it's there. So once again, does that mean you can't eat lokshen kugel unless you eat entire vat full. So what is the conclusion? So he says...
When you had a piece of cake with that stuff on the top, that's a mikzayis, surely make a...
It's fine, but the bracha achrona on the cake is ala mechia, and on the sesame seeds, if you were to eat a zayis of them, would be baron foshes. Therefore, it has two differing bracha achronas.
So that's
his point. So he says that you might say it's bottle regarding bracha rishona, but bracha achrona, because of the status of barrier. So although it seems to be you've already decided, but he's actually got quite a long treatise about it. He discussed it at length, and he doesn't even conclude. Like as a Baruch Hashem, he does say in the final analysis, he does say that we are not concerned about it, and it is tofel to the main food, and we don't have to worry about it. But you do see how far this point goes. And there's just one other point which is worth thinking about. There's a story related about one of the Gedolim, just to talk about how Beria is seen. I'm not going to mention who it is, because I don't think it's really a credit to either to the God or to the person who said this story, because it's one of these Meshuggah stories. But somebody went to one of the Gedolim in Eretz, and they saw him eating an animal biscuit. He needs animal biscuits shaped like an animal, like a giraffe or an elephant. And they saw him eating one, and he made a bracha achrona on one single little biscuit. It's the size of a small sharpener, it's tiny. So they wrote down in a certain halachic sefer that according to Rav, let's say who it is, if you have one single thing, so that's enough, that's a kazayas. It's clearly not. It's a major concern. Now some people are thinking that maybe because it's an animal shape, so it's a barrier because it's an animal, that's ludicrous. So somebody went back to him and said, what's going on? What's making bracha achrona? So he said, oh no, that was the 12th one I had. That was the one. So, as I say, these stories don't do any credit to those who say them, or to those who they said about. I'm not going to mention any names, but just to summarise, therefore, so we've said that one should avoid eating a barrier. That was the first point we made clearly. That eating a barrier in its entirety is a concern. A barrier meaning a item made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it even seems to be items such as small things like sesame seeds, even chickpeas, a single piece from a pomegranate, a segment of an orange, a grape, etc. Does not mean cooked items, baked items, however important they are in our eyes. And once it's cut up into pieces, it's not a concern. Even if you bite a piece off, this is probably the most significant useful tip, if you bite a piece off of it, then it's not a concern for barrier. And if part is missing due to the cooking process, possibly with small fish, then again it's not a concern for barrier. And let me just end with the following point. There is a statement that Bilam said. Bilam, next week said, or not this week, Parshas Balak. Bilam said about Bnei Israel, he said about us, Mi mono afar Yaakov. Part of the prophecy he said in his second nevuah, he said, Mi mono afar Yaakov, who can count the dust of Yaakov? It says Rashi, what does it mean? It means the mitzvahs are done with the dust. He says an incredible thing that Klal Yisrael, even with the dust of the world and ashes and dust, we do mitzvahs. And Rashi enumerates a couple of them. He says that, for example, Efer Parah, this week's parasha, Parashas Chukas, we even do mitzvahs with a bit of dust and ashes, Tahara, Parah, Duma. So we can just paraphrase the concept of Bilam that we see over here, how we're concerned with the minutiae of barriers. We're going to avoid eating certain foods, poppy seeds, sesame seeds, chickpeas, a whole peanut, all these items, and we concern ourselves with eating them or possibly not eating them due to the bracha achrona issues. And a person should realize each time that we consider this and work out how to grapple with it and how to eat it on every given occasion. Again, it's the same concept of how great a cloud is thrown, and we're concerned with the smallest item to ensure that we do things exactly the right fashion to the degree that it requires of us. And that's because we're going to be as good as a headache.